All right. That's enough. Now I want to turn to sources of funding. I'd like to start. Can I start with Alan? Is that all right? Oh, no, but you had an idea. Alan had an idea, which will take a minute to say.
Yeah, so I was with NSF. I'm not, so I can say things that my colleagues in the front row are bound not to say. And this conversation just emerged. It's an idea, nothing more. And it's emerged in several places. We heard today that maybe the place to start is through research, not through curriculum. As somebody intimately familiar with a lot of failed curriculum reform projects, I can definitely state that research is a good way. NSF does have programs like the Research Experience for Undergraduate Programs, the Research Experience for Teachers Programs. And I think one could write a very powerful proposal where you combined people from the liberal arts and social sciences and engineering to do research together, to engage undergraduate students, to engage K-12 teachers. I think that proposal pressure drives a lot of things at NSF. And if NSF were to see not just one but several proposals around this idea, and people went, for example, to visit the ADs or division directors within NSF and to talk about this idea and to basically re-message some of the things that have come out of here, if we can decide on a few powerful messages, and those messages were repeated in a way that provide constructive rather than destructive interference, that we might go a long way to achieve some of the outcomes we've been talking about. But I'll throw out REU and RET proposals as a very specific and direct way we might begin to build collaborations.
I want to thank Alan because in our proposals to NSF, he has reviewed them. He has been contributed to our proposal writing that David and I did. Donna, you want to say something, or John?
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Sure.
And I'm sure Alan would agree to serve again, sort of as point person on this this proposal that he's made to these.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about four opportunities that exist at NSF for some of this stuff. Three are in the engineering directorate, and the fourth one is cross-cutting. So the first one I'm going to mention is, so I'm the program director for engineering education in the engineering directorate. The main program that I run is called Research in Engineering Education, or REE. And so proposals in that area, you can read the program description if you Google NSF REE, the program description will come up. And it will describe sort of formal research into engineering education. And so these are for folks that are in this area that know how to write research grants in the area of engineering education. There is a formality there. And so if you don't know how to do that, I have another opportunity for you. But REE is a good place to bring proposals that have to do with liberal education of engineers. Second of all, there's a new opportunity that was released last summer called Professional Formation of Engineers, RED, for Revolutionizing Engineering Departments. And this is a structurally focused program. The deadline was Thanksgiving of 2014, so we'll be funding the first crop this spring. But we hope, maybe, there will be, stay tuned, but there could be a continuation of RED next fall, so keep an eye out for that. And the goal of RED is it's focused on the middle 2 years of engineering education curricula, because we know that the investments that NSF made in the engineering education coalitions in the 90s and early 2000s changed a lot about first-year programs. We completely changed how engineers experience the first year. They tend to do design experiences in the first year now, and they tend to see all of the ABET learning outcomes in the first year. And similarly with capstone design, which has emerged at most engineering programs, you again see all of the ABET outcomes that include communication skills and ethics and, what am I forgetting, teamwork and social context and contemporary issues and so on. And so, but we don't do those things in the middle 2 years of the engineering curriculum. So what RED does is two things. One is it asks departments to propose ways to accomplish that. But the second thing, which is really, this is where the revolutionary part comes in, is that you can't just add this to your curriculum. You have to change the faculty reward structures in your department. And this is going to be a highly competitive program. I have 97 proposals, and we're going to make about 5 awards that are about $2 million each this year. So we hope that we're going to create some examples of really revolutionary departments that are doing something different in terms of reward structures to achieve something related to liberal education of engineers, at least as set forth by ABET 2000 criteria. So then the third program is the new one I was talking about yesterday called PFE REEF, which is Professional Formation of Engineers Research Initiation in Engineering Formation. And so this is the thing that you want to do if you are not familiar with engineering education research. And what REEF is set up to do is to partner engineering faculty who aren't familiar with engineering education research with someone in the social sciences, humanities, or education disciplines that can help the engineer learn about professional formation of engineers. And if you remember from yesterday, we're saying formation is bigger and broader than education because it's about who people are being and becoming. So it's broader than just formal education or even informal education. It's about how we bring up engineers. And this is something that engineers have a central role in doing, but we can't do it in a holistic way without partners from other disciplines. So I'm going to just read you a little bit more from this solicitation because I think it'll show the folks that are from the humanities and social sciences where you can play in. And what you want to do pragmatically for this is find an engineering faculty member. If you're in the humanities or social sciences, find an engineering faculty member that wants to partner with you and come up with a project. So you'll be basically mentoring them and bringing them along, and then you have an advocate in engineering that can partner with you in your liberal education revolution. So some of the items that we've called out in the solicitation include identifying engineering norms of knowing, thinking, and doing that reflect and perpetuate normative masculinities, heteronormativities, whiteness, and able-bodiedness in the profession of engineering. Developing effective strategies to reshape these norms in ways that increase opportunities for engineers from groups traditionally underrepresented in engineering, as well as engineers from underserved or non-traditional backgrounds. And what that does in NSF speak is that broadens the groups that are underrepresented from, in federal language, it's really women and minorities, specifically African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans, and people with disabilities. And we've just expanded that to include students from working class backgrounds, LGBTQ students, and non-traditional students that are returning to school, differently aged students, veterans, et cetera, right? Creating greater opportunities and preparation for engineers to engage interdisciplinary endeavors, especially in relation to complex socio-technical systems. You can do something with that, I think. Developing engineering identities and processes of acculturation to the profession that are compatible with intersecting non-normative identities, and understanding the role of socio-technical systems in processes of professional formation. This could include, for example, how social, political, and economic forces shape the uses of technology in engineering education, and how, in turn, these uses shape the formation of future engineers. Or it might include developing processes for engineers and the public to collaboratively define, ideate, and implement creative solutions related to major socio-technical challenges in society, and so on, right? So these are things that have to be partners of engineers and people in the humanities and social sciences to make an effective PFE project. So I hope that you'll be proactive about this. These are 2 years, $150,000. Fourth opportunity, sorry. if you are into ethics, there is a cross-cutting program at NSF called CSTEM, Cultivating Cultures of Ethical STEM. And this is a similar move to what just happened with PFE and engineering education, where we're thinking more broadly. So it used to be called Ethics Education in Science and Engineering. Now it's called Cultivating Cultures of Ethical STEM. So we're thinking broadly. We're thinking about institutional change with that. And you can Google, again, NSF CCE STEM. To learn about that. The deadline is very soon, so I think you'll be thinking about a submission a year from now for that one.
I think we all know how to go to the computer and find. I usually just type in Donna Riley NSF, and I get a page with her name and the programs that she's affiliated with. Okay, now we'll hear from John.
Hi, everyone. John Krupczak from National Science Foundation. And So you learn things at these workshops. Now I understand, since Alan helped Larry, why his budget was so flawless, and also since he Googles Donna when he has any problems with regard to the NSF, why I get so few phone calls from Larry. So I want to thank my colleagues for that. Like Donna, I want to mention some aspects about funding opportunities relative to this group's interest at NSF, and then just a few comments of my own with regard to how to be successful with those opportunities. So Donna is an education person working in the engineering directorate. I am an engineer working in the education directorate. So,
and just to be clear.
Okay. I didn't say you weren't, right? Okay. So in the education directorate, education and human resources, our big program relative to this group is called IUS, Improving Undergraduate STEM Education. So we have an acronym embedded in our acronym there. The important number is NSF 14588. Now, the due date last year was in October. It does not have a due date yet published for this year. So stay tuned as far as that goes. Expectation that there'll be a similar program available this year. There's multiple tracks within IUs. There's an exploratory track, which might be of interest for proposals up to, I believe it's $250,000. And then there's an intermediate track with a little bit later deadline. The important feature about IUs EHR is it's very broad and will take in a wide variety of different interests relative to undergraduate education, including the STEM education of non-STEM majors. So those proposals are welcome, or at least have been welcome in IUs. Okay, just a few things here. Just a few quick points. Broadening participation is a major concern at NSF. Our new director, Franz Cordova, has made broadening participation in STEM one of her key issues. So this group has a very important point to bring forward when submitting proposals, is how what you're doing impacts the issue of broadening participation. So I definitely would encourage people to not lose sight of that outcome as you're preparing proposals. The next thing is, even with the sort of myth-busting here, the funding rate isn't any higher in the education directorates compared to the so-called research directorates at NSF. So it's 20% is our sort of quoted amount on a good day, trending down. So how do you do things to help your idea to be more successful in this environment? So I'm just going to mention a few things, and this wouldn't be any different than what you could find in any published materials of the NSF. If you scoured the website, I'm just trying to call your attention to a few things. So one thing that we see overlooked a lot in proposals to our directorate is people citing relevant prior work and also relevant work in the education sphere. So submitting a proposal to the EHR, don't forget the issue of prior work and setting the context. To that end, just want to call your attention. This was mentioned a few times. So if you're new to this, an important resource is the proceedings of the American Society for Engineering Education, and also the proceedings of the Frontiers in Education conference. I know many of you are very experienced in these different conferences, and there's a number of very active ASE people here today. But if you're not, it's maybe a little hard to Google your way to ASEE unless you know it's there. In particular, there's two divisions in ASEE that have been mentioned: the Liberal Education, Engineering, and Society division, which very broadly looks at the liberal education of engineers, and the TELFI division, which looks at the sort of flip side, the technological and engineering education of non-engineers and the philosophy of engineering. So these are both very active divisions, and if you are new to this and are submitting a proposal to the NSF, searching those proceedings would be very good use of your time. Okay, in EHR, so submitting a proposal to the Education Directorate, just a general word of advice, important to take the student's perspective. So within overall NSF, broadening participation cross-cutting theme. Everybody's interested in that. Within EHR, sort of a sub-theme is the idea of engaged student learning and learning environments. So in the extent of preparing a proposal, think about what's in it for the student, what's the student's perspective here, how's the student going to benefit? And as Donna mentioned, thinking in terms of research questions is not a bad way to start, as opposed to an institution-specific curriculum innovation. So the good news is broadening participation is a top front burner issue at NSF. The bad news is there's a lot of movements claiming to be revolutions competing for the dollars. So things like the maker movement, sustainability, manufacturing was mentioned, K-12 engineering. And within the disciplines, if you talk to the electrical engineers, we've got to have more funding for mobile low-power devices because everything is going mobile. And so my point here is that a lot of very well-argued counter-movements to consider that once your proposal gets in, to some extent, it's going to be competing against these other important issues. Then the last 2 points is urge you, when you're preparing a proposal, to consider the scale-up problem up front. It was mentioned by Pamod only yesterday that scale-up is an important aspect. And those of us who are engineers know that the best way to achieve an outcome is to have it as part of the original design criteria. So think about how things are going to scale up beyond your institution. Even if you're doing a pilot study, even if you're doing a localized activity, try to think about the features that will enhance the scale-up. In particular, these days, with regard to the enabling technologies of the digital revolution, how can that in some ways solve some of the problems that, as was mentioned, the Sloan Initiative back in the 80s didn't have the internet at its disposal. So what could be done now that they couldn't do then? Then the last thing is, again, as was mentioned by other speakers, a broader impact is very important, especially when it comes down to, let's say, the last 2 or 3%, splitting hairs, which one's going to get funded. It's going to be, all other things being equal, generally an interest in increasing broader impacts. So think about, I would suggest two words to kind of guide your thinking about broader impact, and one of them is value. So without getting into too much of a debate, just think about what's the value, who's going to benefit, what's really in it for someone else, whatever it is that what you're proposing. What's the value proposition? Yes, Donna.
We talk about broader impacts first when we do review panels in my program. So you actually want to take it. I mean, this is true for EHR as well, but it's not the afterthought that it is in some programs. If we want to know how transformative an education project is, which is absolutely important, that's in the broader impact. And we look at that first and centrally.
Thanks. Yep. Thanks. And the other is community. Think globally, act locally. So I'll add to that, measure impact at the community level. Broader impacts, it's easy to claim that you're going to impact some national issue. And it's also easy to have an impact, to make a change in your individual campus. But can you produce an impact that could actually be measured at what we'll call the community level and leave it up to you to define who's your community? Is it a set of like institutions? Is it a sub-discipline? Is it just a bunch of other people you like to work with? But define who the community is. What's the value? How will you impact them? And then most importantly, how will you measure that, and how will we know that that's happened? So I'll put this in the help us help you category, in the sense that NSF is, like all the other federal agencies, under tremendous pressure to show its value to the Congress the way that they want it measured. So to the extent that we can show measurable impacts at a sort of a community level, that's very helpful to the NSF. So I'll just close by thanking Larry and David for organizing this and for their vision for liberal studies and engineering, and also thank all of you for taking time out from your very busy and productive lives to turn all your efforts to this particular issue. So thanks very much.